Great to have you with us. Loving the messages. Don't know what you're on, Tanasi, but anyway. I tell you, right now, the Field Marshal has wandered in Sam Edmund and a week out from the final game. There's always things happening. Players are retiring. Appointments need to be made.
You guys.
No one is better placed to talk about this than the Field, and that Essendon performance may also.
Come on, Gary.
Come on, you go.
Good morning to
it's
you.
It's your show now.
No, it's not. Right,
over
stop
to you.
Doing that.
Over to you.
Good morning to you, Bucks. I hope you're well
Good
as
morning,
well.
Good morning, Sammy. How are you?
Great to see you both. Well, coaching announcements not too far away at two clubs, GWS and North Melbourne, Gary. And renewed pressure, I think it's fair to say, on a third club to make its own change, and that being Essendon. There's a lot of anger around the Bombers at the moment. So if the patience is wearing thin on where they stood, for many connected to that club, that level of patience has evaporated. So plenty of rumblings last night. We know there will be change brought on by the football department review. Their second in 3 years. That was announced in May by the president, Paul Brasher. How far those changes extend is the question some connected to the club were asking, pondering last night. So just have a listen to Ben Rutten as well. This was him last night. He was asked specifically after the loss to Port Adelaide whether his belief was wavering in the direction the club was headed in.
Does it shake your belief in where you're going at all?
Oh, look, not in my belief in where we're going. I mean, it's certainly, it's not a great result in terms of tonight's performance. There's no question about that. You know, but it's about us being really strong and really clear as a footy club and as a group of players about where we're going and what we're trying to build. Yeah, it's never going to be a smooth sailing, clean progression to becoming a great team. But the performances like that is not stuff that we can tolerate or accept, and we won't. And it really hurts.
Now, they are a club, they're a powerful club. So when things are going well, they're going very well. When things are going like they are at the moment, there's always going to be rumblings. They're a big coterie club as well with outspoken partners and supporters and members. So at the moment, Gary, there's a lot of anger around the club. They're a watch for today and for this week, I think it's fair to say. Without putting the cart before the horse, I think they are a watching brief at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting day, but we'll move on.
Do you reckon there's anything that the coach can say in that circumstance that actually has you go, yeah, that sounds like he's got it all under control? Because, I mean, you're coming from a position of weakness, aren't you? When a performance as poor as that off a season as poor as this, there's nowhere to go, is
there?
And
you keep saying you can't tolerate it, and you won't tolerate it, but the performances keep coming. It puts you under more pressure.
Yeah.
At North Melbourne, it'll be announced very soon, maybe this week even, that major sponsor Mazda has signed on again. So that's a significant announcement, and it's been widely speculated that that will act as the trigger for a range of off-field movement, potentially a coaching announcement and a CEO announcement as well. So just with the CEO, look, record membership, no debt, new facility, Mazda back on board, commercially been a massive success, but there's a concern there that they won't be able to attract the football staff they need unless there's a CEO change and a more football-orientated CEO is brought in. So they're a watch as well, North Melbourne, of course.
Is that a proviso of the if it's Clarkson, for instance, that he would want a different CEO? Is that where we're heading?
I couldn't say as absolute fact that that's come back to North Melbourne in terms of feedback, but there's an awareness at North Melbourne that they won't be able to recruit, and not just the senior coach, but that top-level football IQ unless there's other changes made to their current setup at Arden Street.
How does that come about? Because obviously if Clarkson's coming in as coach, he's not going to be looking at, is he going to be looking at the admin, or has he looked at the admin?
Oh, I think it's part of the consideration. Yep, for sure.
And Jeff Walsh wouldn't have looked at that though. He's looking at like director of footy down.
No, I think there's feedback in that part of the club as well from the Jeff Walsh review, which we're still waiting on a summary of findings, which of course you can understand can't be put out until those staff members are informed, which they hadn't been as of late last week. And also a new coach is appointed, which all makes sense. GWS, they've been determined to run a process. So as of Saturday, they had not made any offer to Alistair Clarkson. So it's hard for him to accept a job at GWS that he hasn't been offered.
They might have offered it to someone else.
Well, Adam Muse, Adam Kingsley, Mark McVay, all interviewed along with Clarkson. So while North obviously go chips in, they make that offer to Alistair Clarkson. He's been North Melbourne's one and only option at this stage. The Giants have been stepping through it a bit differently. Now, from what I've heard, I think Adam Muse in the absolute box seat to take over there. Now, watch this space. But I think Adam Muse, if you were to frame a market right now, you'd have him at the top of the tree.
Is it conceivable that Adam Muse, or whomever, has won that job in his own right?
That's what some are saying at the moment, Gary, but I could not state that as fact at the moment.
So the consensus
that has actually taken place.
Yeah, so North Melbourne are all in on Clarko, but the Giants are saying, no, he is one of whoever. And if it's emerged that he's presented and Clarkson's presented, and then he wins that in his own right.
Well, what we know of coaching is that one coach is not necessarily a fit for all. And we all think that Alistair Clarkson is going to be the best fit for any club because of his record and because of his career to date. But that's not necessarily the case. I think every club needs to work out exactly what its setup is, what it's looking for, what personality it wants to have, and that will determine the individual that it needs to bring in. So I think that shouldn't be read that Alistair Clarkson is the best fit for every
but it's still,
opportunity.
That's true, Nathan. That is true. But it would be a big story if they've gone through a considered process and elected to go for a first year coach over a full-time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would be a big story.
And these things are so tightly held. We piece together things from what we're told and what we hear along the way. So we'll wait and see. I think it's going to come to a head at both those clubs shortly. Speaking of things coming to a head, this Thursday there's a CEO's conference for the AFL. A lot to get through, a lot on the agenda. One thing the clubs believe will be discussed, Gary, is an increase to the salary cap. So we talk a lot about the soft cap, marginal increase next year and beyond. But the TPP at each club at the moment is set. It's back to the top, $13.5 million this year, excluding those additional services agreements. So the clubs I spoke to say they've been given an indication that the cap is about to rise somewhere in the vicinity of 5%. So that takes it up another $600,000, $650,000. So effectively another good player is able to be paid. So it all hinges on the broadcast rights deal, of course, which hasn't even been confirmed, and the revenue share model as well attached to that going forward as part of the new collective bargaining agreement. But as far as the clubs are concerned, the ones I spoke to, they think they're going to get a little bump up when it comes to the salary cap next year. They'll watch this space as well.
I'm just watching the final hole of the FedEx and Jude Championships. Altouris has sunk a 10-foot putt for par, so he's at 15 under. Straka's got a hole to play. He's also at 15 under, so he's in a tie for the win right now with Straka with one hole to play. Sorry, Phil.
That was very nice by Coxie. I don't know if you heard that. Beautiful.
Yeah, a little ball drop.
Yeah, that was very nice. Understated. We need to talk about Zane Cordy. So Grand Og Day with the bump, about to go on trial again. We've got a puzzling situation involving Zane Cordy, who's been sent straight to the tribunal for a shepherd on Tanner Bruin at GWS, left the youngster concussed. Cordy was blocking within the permitted 5 metres for teammate Ed Richards. But there's some nasty whiplash for Tanner Bruin at play there, and his head hits the ground hard, and he's concussed. I'm just not sure why it hasn't been graded by Michael Christian. I mean, 22 charges laid from the Saturday games. Why wasn't this one graded?
Gun shy.
Or you clear him right then and there. Well, almost like it's in the too hard basket. Something's gone on behind the scenes there that has seen him send this directly to the tribunal ungraded.
Do you think the AFL have suggested that is the best way to go?
I don't know, Gary. Nah. I don't know. I just...
Looking at it, what do you think it... How would you grade it?
I've got some sympathy for Zane Cordy because he's trying to block for a teammate.
Yep.
And he's got the shoulder tucked in.
Yep.
And it's within the 5 metres.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, he's bumped. He's caused harm to another player.
But not classified as high contact. It can't be classified as high contact.
But are you not culpable if you choose to bump and the other player gets concussed, whether it be by whiplash or your head slams the ground or whatever it is? So let the player argue the defence. Let the Dogs argue the defence. And if they get off, they get off. But at least put it to them. This hot potato, just passing it down the line.
As I said yesterday, it's just a farce, the whole thing.
If you're going to take the job that Chris O's taken, you need to sort of make a decision on that. But at the same time, I can understand how you want to hand that on. I'd nearly been able to go, I don't know how I can possibly give this guy a week for executing a perfect bump within reason. A contact should have been expected, but because of something that's happened after the contact,
so hang on,
he's supposed to get a week.
So he might get a week for not hitting the head, whereas Cripps gets no weeks for hitting the head. Tell me the system's in good shape.
So I can understand him handing it on, but at the same time, if you're in the role, he's confused. If he's confused or if he's asking for clarity from the tribunal, well then maybe.
So these decisions get ticked off by the AFL, we know that. So we wonder what the conversation was like yesterday behind closed doors with it. You know, was it one where, who knows, maybe Michael Christian's decided he should get off. Now AFL said, no, we can't have something like that get off, or vice versa. And he's just said, well, stuff it, I'll send it to the tribunal.
So you reckon there's a negotiation before these things come down?
Well, yeah, there is sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. They're discussed. They're discussed internally, no doubt, with the AFL. Antonio Conte, Thomas Tuchel. I know you spoke about it earlier, guys. The Spurs and Chelsea managers clashed at the end of a dramatic 2-2 draw in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge. Now, watch the highlights. This has been brewing for the 90 minutes because they kept celebrating their team's goals in front of each other. They would run across in front of each other and celebrate.
Up your nose.
It was real up yours after every goal. So it had been brewing. And at the handshake, Conte didn't look Tuchel in the eye. It was a real storm past. And as he stormed past, Tuchel didn't let go of his hand. And Conte
didn't look at him.
Was spun around. He said, look me in the eye, mate. Look me in the eye. So both red carded, both facing one match touchline bans. But great theatre in the Premier League overnight, the touchline there.
Absolutely magnificent. Will Zalatoris is in the clubhouse at 15 under. Sepp Straka. He's at 15 under and about 15 feet from the hole for birdie to win. The Aussies, the best of the Aussies. Cam Smith has finished in a tie for sixth. Adam Scott's a tie for sixth as well. Cam Davis a tie for 14th. Sorry, Fieldy, you still going?
No, just watch on the injuries as well. We could run through the scenarios all day. That Carlton-Collingwood game is so pivotal. It's going to take place of that Matthew Kennedy done for the season now. Scans confirming a Liz Frank injury after that fractured jaw. Adam Chera, no certainty. He was laid out with adductor soreness. And then Collingwood have got their own issues. Jack Ginnivan, highly unlikely with that hamstring tightness that saw him subbed. Taylor Adams, actually, interesting tweet from him, watching from home with his own groin injury on the couch, tweeted, imagine booing an injured player. Grubs. He loves a tweet, doesn't he, Tate? And then Jordan DeGoey laid out with a sore hip flexor. So unknown at this point whether he'll be right to face the Blues. Top four at stake. They play the long game. It's slippery slope now. If you fall through the injury trapdoor now, you're done. So he's probably more unlikely than likely. So both teams with some injury issues.
Huge day for you today. Huge day. Messages continue to bounce around like nothing else about some big clubs. So good luck today, Field.
All to play out.
You'll be across it. Well, I know that.